Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. A new week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty with you this afternoon. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. We're glad you're with us. Excited about another week of Golden Eagle Talk. Want to remind you about Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Before we get started, they sponsor our first segment every day, and they're a great place to take your family for a meal anytime you like. They're open 7 days a week, and Justin and his guys do the best job in Hattiesburg when it comes to catering, so do not hesitate to call Dickey's Barbecue the next time you want to cater a major event. All right, so much to talk about. What a dramatic Saturday afternoon at Reed Green Coliseum. Victor Owako lays up a layup with 2.9 seconds left. The Golden Eagles come from 18 points behind in the second half. That is the third largest comeback in program history and the largest comeback ever at Reed Green Coliseum. They come back 18 points in the second half they were down 18 with 14 minutes left to play, take the lead with 2.9 seconds, hang on and win this incredible come-from-behind basketball victory and quite a day for Golden Eagle basketball fans. So I wanted to reach out to talk to somebody who could tell me how this kind of thing happens, and who better than the winningest basketball coach in college history here in Mississippi, a two-time athlete at Southern Miss, two-sport athlete at Southern Miss, pitched a no-hitter for the Golden Eagle baseball team, played for the basketball team as well, and is now, of course, the head coach at William Carey University, Coach Steve Knight. Coach, always good to have you back on the show. We really appreciate your time today.
Oh, glad to be here, Bob. Appreciate y'all having me today.
And we do want
to have the ice melting.
Yeah, for over 100%. We are going to talk about your fine program while we've got you on the show. But a couple things I wanted to ask you first is, you probably heard we're just reporting how Southern Miss is down 18 points. They were ahead by 1 point at halftime. Troy goes on a 22-3 run. They get an 18-point lead, and you think it's over. And then the Golden Eagles start, chipping back, playing defense, chipping back. And the next thing you know, they've pulled this huge come-from-behind win out of the hat. As a basketball coach, I'm sure you've seen it all, Coach. How do you coach your kids when they're getting blown out to believe that they can still win? And what is the process that goes on between the coaches and the players when you see this kind of really incredible comeback?
Yeah, I guess I can add to that, Bob. What do you say to your kids when you've got an 18-point lead and they feel it's safe and you don't?
Right.
Yeah, 18 points, that's six possessions in college basketball. And I've seen teams make a bunch of threes in a row. Obviously there was a lot of time left on the clock, so you weren't really in need of going down and make a bunch of threes, but you just focus on defense. In order to cut that gap back, you have to keep the other team from scoring a high percentage of time down the floor. So if you can do that, then that gives you an opportunity on offense, whether it's by the three ball or whether, staying aggressive, taking the basket and getting fouled, maybe getting an and one, getting to the free throw line in that situation is big because it's an opportunity to score points while while the clock isn't running. So, yeah, a lot of time left. I don't think an 18-point lead is much of anything anymore. But on the other hand, you don't see teams come back like Southern Miss did very often. You may see teams that cut it back and cut into that lead, but they don't come all the way back. So to be able to do that is a rare occasion, and it feels great when you can do it. And I know those guys over there feel great about the way that they came back. They got the crowd into the game. Crowd's a huge factor on the home floor, and I was glad to see it happen. We were way up in Dalton, Georgia, playing the game, so I wasn't able to listen to it, but caught it on X and some other articles on the way back. So extremely proud of what they did that day.
But very interesting. You say what Jay Ladner was talking to him about, what you would be talking to him about is defense when you're 18 points behind.
Absolutely. You know, you have to keep encouraging them that if they're having a rough day shooting, you know, that, hey, they're going to start falling. They're going to start falling. Just get stops and don't lose your aggressiveness. You have to stay aggressive on offense. And hey, there's no give in. We've got time to do this. And sometimes it works out for you.
Yeah, and what does that do? What does that do psychologically to a team on both sides, the team that comes from behind, the team that loses the 18-point lead, and you got to go play again in 2 days? Can you wash that out of your minds either way?
It's really hard. It's really hard. You know, you're obviously Troy's going to want to just throw the film in the trash can and move forward, and Southern Miss can always use it as a positive teaching moment to where, hey, we're never out of any game. I think it does give a lot of momentum to the team that comes back, and you can ride that way for a little while. And I know they're going on the road now for 4 straight games, so it could be a situation where they understand that they can beat the opponent under any circumstances. Being down at home by 18 points, they overcame that. So going on the road this time, is a situation where, hey, it doesn't matter whether we're facing a team that's hot or their gym's packed or whatever, we can overcome that. So I think it's a real positive for USM.
So, Coach, when you're playing on the road, how important, how beneficial is a loud, rowdy crowd like what we saw, what we see in your gym when your guys play? Do players really feed off of that?
Absolutely, they do. You know, they jump a little bit higher. Their first step's a little bit quicker. They have a lot of emotion in playing the game, and they ride it. And, you know, it happens over at Clinton Gym all the time. It happens at Reed Green. And we appreciate all the basketball folks that come out. I think they will show up if you've got a good product, and that's been obvious here in the last couple of years.
Right. All right, remind our listeners who may not know your basketball history at Southern Miss, Coach.
Yeah, I came in, played at Hattiesburg High, and was on the state championship team in 1974. When I came in, it was Southern Miss was it had just Jeep Clark was the varsity coach. We had a freshman team back in the time because there wasn't a women's basketball team. I played on the freshman team. My point guard on that year was John Cox, voice of the Eagles, and like I always say, I was a shooter. I don't have any times anywhere where people ask me, well, what kind of player were you? I said I was a shooter. I said I wasn't the best defender. I played hard. I played with a lot of grit. I was just so skinny old guy that could shoot the basketball. So. You know, played there, averaged about 18 points a game on the freshman team. It was coached by a former stud post player for Southern Miss by the name of Ronnie Malone. Mm-hmm. And big, strong guy, did a good job with us. And then the next year I was redshirted, trying to put on some weight, get stronger. I was still growing. I actually grew 3 inches in college. And then Coach Clark was fired, and Coach Turk came in, and got to play for Coach Turk for a season there. And you know, he was a great coach to play for. I mean, he gave me a lot of confidence. He says, your job is to go in there and make shots. And every time the other team went to a zone, he put me in. He said, just shoot it. If you're open, shoot it. And that gave me a ton of confidence, knowing that I had a green light. And so I've kind of put that in as part of my coaching philosophy. If I have a good shooter, I don't ever tell them not to shoot. You know, I'd say, hey, you probably need to shoot more. You're one of our better shooters. So, but then that was 3 years of basketball, 3 years of baseball, and then I got hurt the last practice of basketball in 77, and I missed 6 weeks of baseball season. And I was a pitcher, and obviously it was my right ankle, my push-off foot. I decided not to take that chance the next year, so I didn't play basketball. I focused on baseball, and it turned out to be a pretty good decision. I got to play a couple years of minor league ball. So
right. That's
the history.
We're talking to head basketball coach William Carey University, Steve Knight, legendary Southern Miss athlete, two-sport star. Going to continue our conversation with Coach on the other side of the break. So much to talk about in college athletics now. Really been looking forward to getting Coach Knight's perspective of some of the things affecting the game. We'll do that right on the other side of this short 3-minute break.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is Genesis of Hattiesburg, and we're glad to have them on board. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today, and coming very soon, the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. We really appreciate Genesis of Hattiesburg stepping up as the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment. Miss Kathleen's a wonderful person. I bet Coach Knight probably knows Miss Kathleen and all the great things she does. She's located right across the street from the campus on Hardy Street. You can shop her online at campusbookmart.net. We're talking to William Carey University basketball coach Steve Knight. Coach, before we get on to basketball in general, the Crusaders, 12-6, off to a good start. You guys were Wednesday night. I know you played the University of Mobile. Have you played since? I guess you must have played over the weekend.
We did. We played up in Dalton, Georgia against Dalton State and lost by four. Those long road trips are tough when you're a long way away from home. But, you know, we're still optimistic. We have as you mentioned, played Mobile twice. They just moved up to number 11 in the country, and Wednesday night's game was one that we just had a lot of energy, had a great crowd, and we beat them pretty good. That's the second time this season we've defeated them, so they're sort of our arch rivals, and it's always good to go 2-0 in regular season against that not only is your rival but is a top 25 team.
All right, as a player, obviously a very good player, obviously a very good coach, since you own the record here in Mississippi, how hard is it to go on the road in men's basketball and win in the opponent's gym, Coach?
Well, it's really hard. It really is. I mean, you've got different rims to shoot on. The crowd is always a factor. You just have to have an extreme amount of confidence in what you do as a basketball team. And the main thing is when you go out, you from the opening tip have to be the more aggressive squad. And you know the home team's going to get on some runs during the game, but you want to set the pace early and then fight off any runs that they may have later in the game. So if you're not ready to play, it's going to be a long night. and situation. Unfortunately for us, Saturday, they were more aggressive and they were quicker than us and jumping higher. And I don't like to use excuses. But it's tough with these kids. We came off a huge win. We had a 6-hour bus ride all day Friday, and then we play at 2:00 Saturday afternoon, and we just weren't ready. But mm-hmm. we hung in there, which shows a lot for us. We could have gotten blown out, but we kept fighting and fighting, gave ourselves a chance to win that ball game. It just didn't go our way. So
right. You're 18 games in now. What lies ahead for the Crusaders? You're 18 games into the season.
Yeah, we've got 27 regular season games, so it's just a situation where we're on the road again, long road trip next Saturday to Thomas College, Thomas University, which is north of Tallahassee. And then after that, we're at home for 5 of our last 8 games. So we're hoping to get that win Saturday and then come home with that momentum and take care of business at home. So we're 7-4 in the league. The team leader, the conference leaders, UT Southern, and they're 10-0. So mm-hmm. Some people are going to have to beat those guys. We've got them coming to our place in a couple weeks. So situation is in NAIA, they have moved. Instead of taking just 32 teams to the national tournament, they have what we call opening sites. They're basically regionals, but you may not be in your region. But 64 teams get to go to opening rounds, and then they take the final 16 to Kansas City. So we still have an opportunity for postseason play. And, of course, if we win our conference tournament, you're automatically in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about our bunch. I think we've got a good starting five, and our depth is coming along. And we've got 2 or 3 guys off the bench that can really play. And we just need to stay healthy and weather this kind of storm of 2 long, long road trips away from mm-hmm. home, and then get back to home.
Right. No private jets flying around the country like in some of our favorite SEC leagues, right?
No. It's a good old Klein bus, those are some long rides for sure.
They're not as comfortable as they look, people, in case you've never ridden on one. They look really nice, but I'll tell you. Hey, we should point out just 4 years ago, you told me 4 years. Time passes so fast. Terry played in the Final Four in Kansas City, so I'm sure that's something that even though 4 years back, you remember, because that is such a hard thing to get to, isn't it?
It really is. And when you get to Kansas City, it's all about matchups, who your opponents are. And back when we went, it was 32 teams. So you had to win 5 games in 6 days, and it was just grueling. But we did it, and we made it. Unfortunately, lost in the semifinal game, but played pretty well in that game. Just got beat by the national title winners that year, Georgetown College. So, just mm-hmm. a highlight of my coaching career for sure, and something that they can never take away from us is being able to make it to the Final Four. And hopefully here in the next few years, we can get back and win the whole thing. That's always the goal anyway.
Right. No question about that. All right, Coach, about 3.5 minutes left in the segment. We see so much here now with this transfer portal, and it just seems like the world of college athletics is standing on its ear. In NAIA sports, what effects, if any, are you seeing from the transfer portal?
Well, the facts are that the D1s are mainly recruiting portals and JUCOs and the stud high school kids. So for us, there's going to be a lot of good players out there, typically in JUCO or high school, that are available to us. So the level of basketball in the NAIA and Division II in particular are rising because of the portal. And I understand, you know, the coaches that are at the D1 level, they're under a lot of pressure, and they need to win and win quickly. And it's always easier to win when you have veteran players, whether they were in your program or not. So they're sort of swapping players around, and unfortunately it's leaving some good players out that in the past would have been able to get a Division I offer. And so that's the way it's affected us. I think we signed two kids this year from JUCOs who probably in the past would have gone to low major D1 schools, and I'm sure it'll continue in the future unless they make some changes at the D1 level.
That's interesting. So it's benefited the NAIA. So what do you think about it, though, as a basketball coach?
I don't like it. I don't like the transfer portal and the fact that, you know, we want to build relationships with these kids, and we want these kids there, and we want them to play for the lettering on the front of their jersey, not what's on the back of their jersey. And it takes time to build that. And when you've got kids jumping around from, you know, one year to the next, they're just looking for the best thing for themselves, which we always want the best thing for the kids, but we want kids to also have the desire to really be sort of obligated. Hey, this is who I signed with. This is where I'm going to school, and I'm going to get my education, and we're going to do it for 4 or 5 years. And that's the way that you know, us old coaches look at it. The newer coaches, they don't seem to mind too much.
That's
jumping around.
That's interesting.
I hate it. I don't like the opportunity. I think they're going to do something with that. I think they're going to cut back the number of transfers that you can have without penalties. So, you know, the NAIA, even now, once that happened, they changed theirs where we don't have a penalty. We don't have a portal. But if you want to transfer, you can transfer to another school at any time, you know, each after the season. So, you know, it's just I guess a way of life now. But it does hurt the coach's ability to really build relationships. In particular, basketball, you're only dealing with, you know, 10 to 12 to maybe 14 kids, and you have to be really tight as a unit in order to win, and it sort of takes that away a little bit.
All right, don't forget you can hear every William Carey University basketball on supertalkhattiesburg.com. It's Hattiesburg or supertalkfm.com as well, and many of the games are broadcasted here on 97.3 as well as simulcasted on supertalkhattiesburg.com. Coach Steve Knight, thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure to have you on our radio show. Steve Knight, everybody, head basketball coach at William Carey University. Really appreciate his time. We'll be right back. Got to find Kelly Center next. Hang on.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank head basketball coach of William Carey University, Steve Knight, of course, legendary athlete at Southern Miss. Two sports star at Southern Miss, threw a no-hitter in baseball and is in the Sports Hall of Fame. Town & Country Cleaners in Hattiesburg should be. They're Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners. They're family-owned and operated since 1983, and they offer services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and dry cleaning. You can visit Town & Country at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street. You can call them at 601-264-4920. And want to say hello to Slade the Guys at 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the rock, looking for a good lunch. Want to take a lunch break at work? Go check out 4th Street Bar and Grill, see what you get for $10. We think you'll like that. And, of course, you can catch all the USM Road basketball games coming up 4 in a row. And you can catch them as well at 4th Street Bar and Grill. All right. So people have been asking me if Kelly was, in fact, incarcerated, and the lawyers explained that I was not at liberty to discuss that. He's out, whatever that means. Kelly, you just to clear the record, you were not incarcerated.
Well, I was kind of incarcerated in my own home, but I unfortunately came down with COVID again. And because I did have the vaccine, it was not as, you know, the symptoms for me were not as bad as the first time. Of course, the first time was just horrible. So I'm pleased to report that I am feeling better, but I did have COVID. I check all the boxes, Bob. I'm fat. I'm, you know, I'm old. My type of blood, it seems to like. So I just have to be really careful when it comes to.
But being a marathon runner has probably helped fight it off, do you think?
I think that's the only thing. That's the only reason I'm still alive.
Yeah, because of your marathons?
I'm a marathon eater, Bob.
I always get that confused.
Yeah,
that's right. I have gone to movie store with you. I've seen it. close and personal.
Yeah, which is that first problem. I'm so fat. But nonetheless, feeling better. Hope to be back in the studio. You know, better safe than sorry. So probably, you know, next week.
Well, we're glad you're getting better. All right. I know you're feeling well enough. You've been catching up with news and notes for me here, Southern Miss News. So carry it away, Kelly.
All right. Let's start with men's basketball. It was just announced today that the second part of the Sun Belt MAC Basketball Challenge matchups have been announced. You know, earlier in the basketball season, in fact, on November 10th, Southern Miss went to Akron and lost to the Zips up there 72-54. Well, the commissioners for both of the leagues kind of wanted to see how teams would shake out before scheduling the second round, and that's exactly what they did. But they have set those in stone now. February 10th, it will be the Western Michigan Broncos that will come to the greenhouse to take on Southern Miss. The Broncos right now are 7-11 overall and 4-2 in the MAC. Right now in the net rankings, Southern Miss is 221, Western Michigan is 268. So again, February 10th, that is set in stone. Western Michigan will come to Hattiesburg. Remember, the Eagles were on the road for the first round of that challenge, so they get the home game the second time, and the opponent will be the Western Michigan Broncos. TJ Finley, the standout quarterback at Texas State, who put the Broncos in a bowl game this year under their first-year coach, G.J. Kinney, entered the transfer portal and has announced that he is going to head to a place that we are familiar with here in the Hattiesburg area. That would be Bowling Green, Kentucky, where he will be a member of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. That'll be his next stop. This will make now three schools in 4 years for Finley. And I don't know if you saw the story last week, Bog, about the tight end at the University of Miami, because of medical exclusions and COVID and other things, he has been approved for his ninth year of college football. Ninth year. And he put something out on social media saying he was looking forward to one last time. I'm saying one last time.
Word. A decade of college football.
Yes. Academically, I kind of went that route, but athletically.
After 9 years, what is he taking in class? My heavens.
I'm sure he's in getting his doctorate now. We'll have to ask Luke how long that takes to get.
Does he know Gabe Montenegro?
Yeah, kind of. We're hoping now this next Montenegro, you know, speaking of which, the captains for the Southern Miss baseball team were announced, and we'll have more information on that tomorrow. Carson Pato among them, along with Slade Wilkes, as they get ready for the baseball season. Tomorrow on the Eagle Hour, Bob will have in the studio Coach Poole and some of the members of the Lady Eagles softball team as their season gets underway here, actually a little bit sooner than the men, although the women will begin on the road, whereas the men's baseball team will begin at home. So that's a little bit about a lot of things, Bob.
All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about basketball. The game Saturday was really pretty incredible. Golden Eagles down 18 points midway through the second half, come back and win it. That's without Victor Hart, too. I mean, I don't think you can overemphasize how important Victor Hart is to the basketball team. Kelly, this is they won two, you know, heart-stomping games here in the last two, but they're so unpredictable. What have you been able yet to put your finger on this team?
I don't, you know, unpredictable is a good word, but I think if you use that to describe Southern Miss, Bob, you'd have to use that same word to describe all the teams in the league. Mm-hmm. You remember when the season started, James Madison looked like they were going to run the table. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the Dukes were just killing everybody. And now they can't seem, you know, to buy a win. Nobody necessarily was thinking that Appalachian State was going to turn out to be the powerhouse that they are right now. But, you know, that could change. Really, with Southern Miss, it's come down to feast and famine based on where the, you know, whether they're at home or whether they're on the road. I mean, they defend the greenhouse really, really well. They knocked off, at that time, undefeated James Madison, who was ranked 19th in the country when the Eagles upended them. Troy, who they got walloped by, you know, about a week ago over in Troy, they come back, you know, and win that game Saturday, as you guys talked about on the show a little bit earlier. But again, that was at Reed Green Coliseum. True test now coming up for the Eagles. You mentioned four games in a row on the road. That's the bad news. Now, the good news is these first two are going to be with teams that have struggled up to this point. Coastal Carolina near the bottom of the standings in the Sun Belt, and Marshall, although not at the bottom, more toward the lower middle of the pack, if you will. So these are going to be two road games. Anytime you win on the road, it's like picking up two games. I think when they lost to Georgia Southern, everybody thought that was going to be a potential fatal blow, but same deal. Georgia Southern, terrible on the road, but they've been defending their home court very well. So that's been the modus operandi for this league all year long, is that everybody, it seems, is going to finish about 500 in the league, which is great for the fans, but problematic for the league when it comes to making, you know, selections for the NCAA tournament, because we already know that the winner of the tournament will get one invitation, but it appears that's certainly going to be the only way anybody's going to go, is to win that tournament.
Everybody's 500. The ladies lost Saturday 70-58 to Monroe. They're now 9-8. And, you know, Dominique Davis had 18 points, but she was kind of, you know, symbolic of the entire team. She was 6 of 20 overall shooting and 0 of 6 from the arc. If you can't hit the basket, you just can't win. And, you know, they fall victim to cold shooting. And that kind of goes to the women and the men's league. Every game in the conference, Kelly, seems to be a crapshoot.
It does. And, you know, you were talking about Victor Hart being out of the lineup now. But the difference in that game was the emergence of Kobe Montgomery. Kobe Montgomery likes that three-point baseline jumper over in the corner, and he started to drain some of those. So if Kobe Montgomery continues to play, you know, like that, that's going to be a difference. And you saw when Andre Curbelo was playing, you know, the added dimension that he gives to that Southern Miss team. But you just don't know in that concussion protocol how long he's going to, you know, how long he's going to be out. But I don't think Jay Ladner has had the same starting five about any time this year.
I heard two guys talking about that very thing, and then one guy makes the comment, you couldn't argue with him, says, well, I don't really care how good he is. If he's sitting on the bench, it doesn't matter. And, you know, he played a couple of games and got injured. And so Mo Arnold has really stepped up. He has really improved his shooting from last year. And now, Kelly, they go on the road for four straight games. The scheduling just sometimes seems odd in the Sun Belt, that you have these clusters of games, four straight road games. That's pretty tough. Steve Knight was telling us earlier in the show how hard it is to win on the road, and now they got to do it four games in a row.
But then they turn right around. Almost the entire month of February, they're going to be back at Reed Green Coliseum.
Yeah.
So I know Coach Ladner likes that from a standpoint that the students will be in the house, and he's talked about how, you know, a full house with the students there certainly impacts, you know, the way that they seem to play. And now you throw in that MAC challenge with Western Michigan coming down here, you know. Western Michigan, yeah, we got to play Southern Miss, but it's probably going to be a lot warmer than it is up in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Yeah, you're right. All right, I know you. Can you stick around? I know you want to talk about Patrick Mahomes, your favorite player. You got 4 minutes. You can hang through the break.
Yeah, part of my prison work release program, having to talk about that guy.
Oh, and have you heard who the Kelce guy is dating? Have you heard about that? We can talk about that when you want to come back, too.
Yeah, please update me.
We'll inform Kelly Sander about the Kelce story when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. Glad you're with us. This segment of the program is sponsored by DBAT. Luke Reynolds heads it up down there, former big baseball star at Southern Miss. So where better to take your child for baseball, softball training at DBAT? They're right there on Hardy Street, really state-of-the-art facility. We appreciate all they do. Also want to say hello to our friends at Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Great desserts, probably the best in town. Great coffees, hot and cold, all sorts of energy drinks. Just a fun place to hang out at Mobe Beignet. And I want to remind you about, of course, the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can simply tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And we're grateful for all of you that that log in every month and every week and every month and continue to listen to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Kelly, then there were four. We're down to the final four of the National Football League. The Baltimore Ravens will host your favorite team, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the San Francisco 49ers will be hosting the, I think, Cinderella team and the team that most of the nation at this point is pulling for, the Detroit Lions. But let's start there first. San Francisco, multi-talented team, but, you know, had a fight on their hands with the Packers. But then on the other hand, the Lions are multi-talented, and they had a fight on their hands with Tampa Bay. I thought both underdogs played really with a lot of determination and really represented themselves well. But now it's down to the 49ers, who we've talked throughout the year on this show, we think may be the best team in the NFL, although the Ravens could challenge you for that. And the Cinderella story of maybe the last decade. Did the Lions, in your view, have any chance of going to Frisco and knocking off Purdy and Christian?
Yes, they have a
and
chance.
All those guys.
And you remember early in the season, Bob, and you said it, when Detroit went into Dallas and manhandled the Cowboys down there. Do you remember what you said on the air? Yeah. Probably week three.
Well, they played old fashioned football, and they had a big monster offensive line, and they just come right at you the way I like seeing football played.
Yeah, so I think Detroit does have a chance to go in there to San Francisco. Now, if you're a Green Bay fan, you certainly have nothing to hang your head about. I know you want to play for the Super Bowl, as do I as a Bengals fan, but when you look at how young that Green Bay team is, and how, I mean, there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about where that franchise is headed. Kansas City, again, gets the benefit of several calls, the one that's most controversial. In fact, now, mind you, it's coming from people and media outlets in Buffalo who want the NFL referee crew investigated for the one particular call where the late pass interference flag came down only after the referees discussed it. And clearly on the videotape replay, the contact was made before the pass was thrown. So clearly a wrong call there. But again, it was third down for the Chiefs. And by that late flag coming down, the Chiefs get a fresh set of downs and then go on to win the football game. So I know the Chiefs aren't playing the Bengals. It's like it just seems like the Chiefs seem they get every single call.
It sure seems that way.
And I sure hope when I think Baltimore is the best team in the NFL. Period. And I hope Baltimore just beats the snot out of Kansas City this weekend. But I don't think they will. I'm telling you, I think the NFL is going to do whatever it can to get Kansas City in that Super Bowl again.
I'll tell you something ironic for Bill fans. You know, they missed that field goal right there at the end of the game that probably maybe would have sent the game into overtime. He misses it to the right, and that's exactly how they missed the field goal that cost them their one opportunity, really their best opportunity to win a Super Bowl, when they missed a field goal to the right. So they did want to hear no good to the right, did they?
Yeah, Scott Norwood, I think it was at 1992 or something like that that took place. And Tyler Bass, of course, is a Sun Belt guy out of Georgia Southern. So the place kicker for Buffalo.
That missed the field goal.
Yes, that missed the field goal. So, and the Chiefs may have won in overtime. You know, they probably, again, would find some kind of way to get Kansas City there. But never have I been pulling, you know, and Baltimore, you know, just hammered the Bengals twice this year. So I'm not a big fan of Baltimore, but you know, anybody but Kansas City. And even the Bengal players are all saying that. I don't care who it is. We just don't want Kansas City.
Well, let me tell you one reason I'm pulling for Baltimore is I told my wife yesterday they had a shot of Todd Monken. And I said, what you just saw is the only NFL coordinator in the league that will come on the Eagle Hour whenever we ask him to. So how do you not pull for Todd Monken, right?
Well, of course. And he's already, you know, been interviewed by several teams for potential head coaching openings. If it's not this cycle, you know, it's bound to be, you know, the next couple. He's going to be a head coach in the NFL. So you certainly pull. The only matchup I do not want is Baltimore and Detroit, because then I wouldn't know who to cheer for.
I think that's what you're going to have. I think that's going to be Baltimore and Detroit.
Well, according to that so-called leaked message from the NFL, it's going to be San Francisco and Baltimore.
Now they're hoping that doesn't happen, right?
I think Kansas City's going to win again. We'll see.
All right, Kelly, I'll hook up with you tomorrow when we get through with the softball ladies. How's that sound?
Sounds good. I'll be here, Bob.
All right, Kelly Sanders. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.